Welcome back to Real Talk About Feminism podcast. We are your hosts, Mackenzie and Haley, and we're back with a new episode this week.
We spent the last week in Arizona. We were watching our little cousins, which was fun.
It was very fun. It gave us a lot of appreciation for parenthood.
It did, for sure. Yeah. I'm in no rush to have any children.
No.
But they were so adorable. They gave us little notes after, and they were like, don't leave. We had so much fun.
Yeah, that was really fun. We did like everything. We did school drop off. We did bedtime. Like we were there for like five days. Yeah. So yeah, it was really fun. Definitely very hard, but it was really fun because they're super cute. And now we'll have a deep bond with them forever.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what we've been up to. That's pretty much it, other than work and school for you.
Yeah, pretty much. You are leaving literally tomorrow to go see Kendrick.
Yes.
And we're going to update you guys at the end of the month on some of the exciting things we have coming up in the next couple weeks. So stay tuned for that. But you're going to be gone for a week.
I know. I'm so excited. I wait for this week for the 6 weeks before it.
Yep.
Every time. I think it's only been five. But yeah, I'm really excited. I'm like slightly stressed because I still have to pack and like do all that, like, you know, shower. I'm leaving super early, so yeah, I'm a little stressed, but I'm excited. And we have Valentine's Day next week, so happy early Valentine's Day to you guys.
Happy love day
and
happy singles awareness day.
Yes, you do not need to have a Valentine. Love yourself, love your pet, love your friends. Have a little Galentine's Day. But yeah, it's exciting stuff.
Our obsessions for the week, we are going to get into that before we get into the feminist highlight.
So my obsession of the week is I got my nails done again. I got dip for the first time. And so we'll just see how that goes. I really wanted to get my acrylics back. But I was like, you know what? I worked really hard.
It's too much of an investment.
Well, yeah, it's too much of an investment. And then also, like, I was like, partially because of the amount of time it takes, I was like, I hate sitting in a nail salon. So yeah, I tried dip, and I think I'm going to keep up at least like gel or dip. And then I also painted my toes, so I'm feeling really good.
I love when my toes and my fingers are done.
Yeah, I haven't had my toes painted, which is like really abnormal for me, but they haven't been painted for like 3 months. I know. And I've just like,
even in winter, I paint my toes.
I know. I've never not, but like, I've just felt lazy. So then I was like, okay, I'm going to bust out the gel and the lamp and, you know, do my toes.
I don't even do gel anymore on my toes. I did that when we first got the kit, and it was too much. Like, I'll just do the classic with no top coat. I really don't care.
I mean, yeah, you can always repaint it.
Yeah.
It's not that
when summer comes, pedicures then, are the way to go. Like, I love going to get my toes done.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's my obsession. What's yours?
My obsession is this book that I just finished, and it's going to roll into the feminist highlight for today because the feminist highlight for today was in this book, like featured. But the book is called The Girl with the Louding Voice, and it's about a 14-year-old girl from Nigeria who is a child bride and then ends up being like sold into human trafficking. And it was a very, very, very sad book, but it had a big impact on me. And I highly recommend reading it if you want to get outside of your own perspective, because it made me eternally grateful to live the life that I do. It was very sad. But again, I recommend it. It was a great book.
It's like great to learn.
It was really great to learn. Really great.
We're going to take a quick break to talk about our sponsor, BetterHelp.
It's 2023, and it's time to really prioritize our mental health this year. No matter where you are in life, everyone can benefit from therapy. Whether you need to work through trauma or just need a safe person to talk to, BetterHelp is here for you.
BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy service. Get matched with a professional licensed therapist in your state who you can trust.
BetterHelp has options to communicate with your therapist via chat, email, or video, and you can message them at any time to get help.
BetterHelp is giving our listeners 10% off if you sign up using the link in our show notes.
If you're struggling with depression, anxiety, relationships, trauma, grief, or just need someone to talk to, try BetterHelp today by clicking the link in our show notes or go to betterhelp.com/RTAFpod to get 10% off today.
So today's feminist highlight is Funmilayo Ransom Kuti. And As I said, I learned about her from the book I read. In the book, the girl is trying to expand her knowledge and she stumbles upon a library and reads about this person. Funmilayo was born in 1900 and she was a Nigerian activist who fought tirelessly for girls and women's access to education and political representation. She was one of the first women to attend the Abeokuta Grammar School in 1914. She ended up teaching at this school later in her life. She founded the Abeokuta Ladies Club, later called the Abeokuta Women's Union, in 1944 and was, quote, committed to defending women's political, social, and economic rights. This earned her the nickname of the Lioness of Lisabi. This was part of the anti-colonialism movement in Nigeria as they fought for their independence from Britain, and this became one of the most important women's movements of the 20th century.
Wow. I feel like I need to add this book to my list. Because you told me a few things, like a few specific things from it that I was like, okay, whoa, that's really sad. But like, it's real life. And so, and also like you did talk about how impactful it was. So I think I'm going to add it to my list.
Yeah. It was a 5-star read. Many, many trigger warnings for anyone who would read it, but it is a very, it's a fictional story, but it's extremely realistic and it happens every day. Like it was set in like 2014. So It's very sad, but huge impact.
Yeah.
I would reread that book again.
Wow. Well, thank you for sharing and for sharing our feminist highlight as well. All right. So we are getting into today's main topic, and we're talking about emancipation from domesticity. And we are talking about we're set in the 1700s. With who we're going to be talking about. But this topic, I got the idea from the Purple Feminist book. So we've referenced it many times. We can put it in the show notes, but it's such a good book. I flipped through every single page yesterday just because I was like, I'm interested. And I was like, dang, these are really cool. So yeah, that's what we're talking about today. Question to start us out, since we're talking about the domestic sphere. Just something a little fun. If you had to choose for the rest of your life, if you had to cook or you had to clean, like for your household.
Clean, hands down.
Clean?
Hands down clean.
I'm also clean.
Hands down clean. I hate cooking. I hate being in the kitchen.
I hate cooking and I'm like cleaning, you know, if it's not too often, like it's therapeutic.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I would rather do that.
And I feel like I'm a good cleaner. Like I thrive.
Same.
Cleaning. So put me in the cleaning role and I will nail it.
Yeah. Hey, if you ever need cooking, a second job, cleaner.
Cooking, you might be disappointed.
Yeah. No, I feel the same way. I always have like really, really like intense, or not intense, but like I have like really intentional plans to when I go visit Kendrick. I'm like, I want to cook this dinner. Like, I just, like, want to be, like, taking care of him. And then I'm actually there and I'm like, no.
Let's go get something.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm not feeling this.
I know. I am gearing up to simply make a dip, which is going to take me 10 minutes, and bake some cookies for Super Bowl Sunday. And that is stressing me out.
That's okay.
I do not like being in the kitchen.
Yeah, but that's okay. That's fair. Well, for the women in the 1700s, they didn't get a choice, which is really sad, but we're going to talk about it. So I'm going to start off with a quote from Mary Wollstonecraft, and she said, "I do not wish women to have power over men, but over themselves."
Whoa.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yep. So that was in 1972. So getting into the origin of this topic, so in 1792, Mary Wollstonecraft wrote a very powerful speech titled A Vindication of the Rights of Women in response to the 18th century Enlightenment thinkers that were all male, and philosophers that did not support female liberation. So she was directly responding to the philosophers that are, you know, the ones that are like the thinkers in their society. So in her vindication, which that's how we're going to refer to it for the rest of this time, because it's a long title. So in her vindication, she criticized the injustice and inconsistency of these same men calling for freedom, yet still not fighting for the freedom of women. So they were like preaching like, you know, more land ownership rights for men and like just like more rights in general. But it was all like geared towards men, like white men.
Yeah.
And so she's like, if we're talking about rights, why are we not furthering women's rights?
Can you imagine living in that time?
No. Like, how frustrating to just be like,
well, I can't do anything except raise my kids and clean my house.
Mm-hmm. I know. I'm just like thinking that's... of Don't Worry, Darling. But it's on like steroids, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I can't imagine. And especially like when they are these like thought leaders of the time are talking about like we need more rights. But she's saying you're not talking about rights for everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you're involving one group.
One specific group.
Yes. So we can see her frustration. So along with this, she also rejected the societal perception that women were less rational. So that was like obviously a super big thing. And that's why women were doing the housework, were doing the childcare, and because they couldn't think as well as men. They were just like simple-minded.
That makes me so mad.
Yeah. So Mary, she said, quote, "Who made man the exclusive judge? Women might be weaker physically, but are just as capable of rational thought as men."
Two things this is giving. Invisible Women,
mm-hmm.
Our book club book.
Our book club book.
The Barbie quote in the opening scene when she's like, "I can hold both logic and emotion,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't make me less than," or something. Yeah. I don't know the exact quote, but she's saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah. And like very bold, because she published, or like this was printed, her vindication. So like how bold of her to come out in print with these things, because yeah. that was not a time where women had power.
Yeah. You know what else it's giving?
It's giving
Lady Whistledown.
Lady yes! Whistledown. Yes, yes, yes. I love it. I was just talking about Bridgerton
today. Season 3 is coming out in May.
Ooh. Yeah. Okay. This is something I saw, but Penelope, spoiler alert, I guess.
If you haven't seen Bridgerton.
Yeah. Penelope and Colin, obviously, like, it's about them.
Yeah.
And I saw something that said they, like, broke beds in the
love making. And I was like,
I know. I was like, whoa.
Wow. But then I also saw someone else that was like, I don't want to see these two in a sex scene. And I was like, why?
I mean, I didn't want to see Anthony in a sex scene, but, like, I don't know. It's
Anthony
just...
grew on me in season 2.
In season 2, he grew on me, but season 1.
I hated him in season 1.
Yeah, no, I didn't like him in season 1. But
I think that was the point.
Yeah. Well, also half of season 2, I didn't like him.
Yeah, I know. Honestly, yeah. I don't really like Anthony.
Actually, I don't like Anthony. Yeah. But anyways, I saw that and I was like, okay, we're getting some spicy scenes.
I know.
Maybe their chemistry will be really good and everyone will like it.
I think their chemistry will be good.
Yeah. So
I'm so excited.
I know.
I just rewatched Bridgerton.
Really? I need to rewatch the first season because I recently recently meaning like 6 months ago.
Yeah, yeah.
But I rewatched the second season at that time. So I need to rewatch the first one, which is like my favorite anyways.
The first season.
Daphne. Okay. So after our little tangent, so there were a few like major statements that Mary made in her vindication. And one of them was she called women, like men look at women as men's playthings. That's what she said.
Oh, wow.
And so.
That's so 1700s language.
I know. All of these, like I have some quotes at the end, like everything. I was like, wow, the way that they like wrote was just very eloquent.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess.
Because even that, I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Men's playthings, like not men's toys, like
or men's objects.
Yeah, men's playthings. So this is what she said about that. Quote, "She was created to be the toy of man, his rattle, and it must jingle in his ears whenever Dismissing reason, he chooses to be amused.
Wow.
So
bold statements.
Yeah. So like that's really bold. She also talked about how women remained inferior in society because they were kept in the home.
Mm-hmm.
And which is like, you know, very true. And she really made a point to highlight that it was such a cycle because she grew up being told by her mom that she needed to look pretty for men. She needed to dress perfectly. Like everything, I mean, everything we saw in Bridgerton, like it's literally all just to get married mm-hmm. and have kids. And so she talked about that, how like we as women, they were just raised to think about the opinions of men and not really think about intellectual fulfillment or personal fulfillment in any way.
Mm-hmm.
So like
it's true. I'm like, what did they do for themselves besides, I don't even know, because everything they did was either for their husbands or their kids.
Yeah, I mean, they sewed clothes, they cleaned, they cooked.
They couldn't go to school.
Yeah, they couldn't go to school. Like, what did they do? So.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah, and so she just talked about how, like, it's a never-ending cycle because the young girls learn it from their moms, who learn it from their moms, who learn it from theirs. And, like, that's – they're forced into this bubble. And so what else are they going to do? Except for stand up like she is.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing she was very bold about was talking about how men and women should be educated equally. And she, the really, really bold thing was she suggested like co-education between men and women. So like having girls and boys in the same classes. And I was like, yeah, because obviously like, why does that matter? But it was like so outrageous.
Such a big deal.
At
yeah.
the time. Which is just crazy. And then she also believed that women should be in the public sphere and should be trained to work outside of the home. And she suggested, like midwifery, medicine. So like being nurses, because we know that women couldn't be doctors. But women being nurses or also like going into business as well.
Wow.
So I think that's where we saw a lot of women like starting off as secretaries.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so like I think that was kind of a gateway to, and not like any time in this area, yeah. but I think that was kind of a gateway to getting women in business and
like eventually as the Industrial Revolution happened, this mm-hmm. kind of set the stage for that.
Yeah. And so yeah, she was like one of the first to like really call these out publicly. And so, yeah, like whether or not they were fulfilled in her lifetime, it was setting the stage.
Mm-hmm.
So there were basically like two different main reactions, which as we can probably guess.
Two extremes.
Yeah. But in intellectual circles, it was received very well. And that didn't specify like in intellectual women's circles, like. It was just in intellectual circles. It made sense.
And the intellectual circles were mostly men.
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting. But then one newspaper described Mary and her lifestyle as, quote, a hyena in petticoats. I'm like,
jeez.
Whoa.
There's some bite behind that.
Right. Just for asking for women to get educated and leave the house every once in a while.
Leave the house every once in a while.
Like seriously, now she's a hyena in petticoats. But because of like these very extreme mixed reactions, they didn't reprint her vindication.
Oh, wow.
Until the mid-19th century.
Okay.
And it was admired by other famous activists and suffragettes. They were like, we need to republish this. And so they brought it back. And I believe she had already passed. But they brought it back because it was very powerful.
Wow, that's cool. I love the word suffragette.
I know. I'm like, slay. I mean, sad that you guys had to fight for your right to vote, but you know.
We got a cute term.
Yeah. So yeah, that's kind of just like a very quick summary of Mary and her vindication that was very powerful in the day that it was printed, but also like hundreds of years later.
Because I imagine most women at some point in their lives were like, there's got to be more than this.
Yeah.
There's got to be more for me. I want more out of my life, but couldn't say anything or didn't know how. And so when they were able to read her vindication, they were probably feeling so validated.
Yeah.
Like, wow, there is more for us.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. Like giving these women hope. And I love that they reprinted it because, I mean, they didn't have to do that. They could have just, you know, like re-recognized it. But for them to push like, no, we need this on the printing press and this is getting distributed out, it's a really powerful message. Mm-hmm. So I have two little quotes that I thought were like really cool. So this is – both of these are actually in the vindication. So this is what she wrote. So the first thing she said, let women share the rights and she will emulate the virtues of man, for she must grow more perfect when emancipated or justify the authority that chains such a weak being to her duty. So she's basically saying like, let us free. If we're not up to it, you'll see us not working, you know, like, mm-hmm. We're not going to be out there. And if we really are going to be disappointing, like you say we are, then let us fail.
Yeah.
But like she knew we weren't going to.
Wow.
That was another one that I was like,
call to action.
Yeah. I was like, that's a really pretty way of saying it.
But also like bold and assertive.
Yeah. Yeah. Like she's very confident. No doubt in her voice right there. Mm-hmm. Another thing she said in the vindication, she said, so convinced am I of this truth that I will venture to predict the virtue will never prevail in society till the virtues of both sexes are founded on reason and till the affections common to both are allowed to gain their due strength by the discharge of mutual duties. So another very bold statement, but she's just talking about like men and women need to share the responsibilities or else we're not going to like fully come to our full strength as society.
Right. Like, why do men get to go and actually live their lives and women are stuck in the house?
Right. Like,
that's not fair.
I don't think if we reversed it on them, they would like that. No. If it was all of a sudden, like, men, you don't get a choice in this. You just have to go take care of the kids. I don't think they would like that.
No.
So, those were two of the things that I thought were really cool quotes from the actual vindication. And then obviously, like, I think we can see how powerful the impact is now. Like, she was really making strides in society, especially as a woman. But it's still impacting us today. So I wanted to quote another quote, but this is from the University of Nebraska, I believe. And they had this whole write-up about the vindication and like the impact now. And so they said, long cited as the fundamental text of Western feminism, the book continues to contribute to modern social thought in many ways. 200 years after Wollstonecraft's death, many issues of which Wollstonecraft raised in her essay continue to evolve. All in all, there is still a long way to go before women's rights are truly vindicated in today's world. But women are still persecuted for pursuing a sufficient education and free sex lives.
To name two things.
Yeah. So those are two big things. But yeah, I just thought that was like really cool because universities are like still citing her text.
Yeah, it was impactful.
Yeah. So that is Mary Wollstonecraft and her fight against domestication of women. Forced domestication.
Yeah, women. Forced domestication.
Because there's nothing wrong with wanting to be in the home, but they were forced. They didn't have a choice.
Yeah, they didn't have a choice. That was all that was available for them. Mm-hmm. That reminds me of a TikTok I saw today, and it was this girl saying, me knowing that in 10 years, I'm going to have to either choose to go after my career or be more present with my family, and either choice I make is going to have a negative reaction from others. Mm-hmm. I was like, we just can't have anything.
No. Yeah. It's so hard. It is. Oh, there's so many things in Invisible Women that are like.
I know, guys. I cannot wait to do an episode on Invisible Women.
Me too.
I'm so excited because it's a really great encapsulation of like a lot of feminist concepts, mm-hmm. and a lot of social issues across the world that as feminists we're fighting for.
Right. And it gives very clear data.
Yes. And it's things you wouldn't even think about.
Mm-hmm. And also like it's not the – I really love how the her whole point is most of it is not intentional. Yeah, there's a lot of it that can be intentional, but most of it isn't, and that's why we're fighting.
Exactly. Basically, the whole premise of the book is that the world was designed by men for men.
Yeah.
And as you read the book, and like now I'm like noticing things that I'm like, definitely not made by a woman or for a woman.
Yeah.
This was definitely set up for men.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a really good book. So we can't wait to recap it. We have this month's meeting and then next month's.
Yep.
And then we'll start a new book, right?
Yep.
So yeah, still not too late to join. You can catch up.
Well, that's all we have for today. Everyone have a great Super Bowl Sunday.
Yes.
I don't know who I'm cheering for.
I'm cheering for the Chiefs, 1,000%. Who's
playing again? Chiefs.
The Chiefs and the 49ers.
Oh, I'm cheering for the Chiefs. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just there for the social vibe, the food.
Yeah. That's what I'm there for too. Oh, and the commercials.
And the commercials every year.
Yeah. For sure. I'm excited to see the marketing tricks they've pulled out this year.
Well, we'll talk next week with a brand new episode. Until then, have a good week.
Bye.
Bye.
Okie dokie.
That was good. Thank you.